have to wonder what the crowd was thinking at this point in the sermon. It sure sounded hopeless. Jesus went on to discuss several of the major sins and life events one by one. Murder, adultery, divorce, swearing oaths, retaliation against others, giving, prayer, fasting, and expanded on them to show that not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law must be followed. He made it clear that they could not possibly hope to succeed in doing so. But Jesus also included tips on the right way to approach each of these life events. How to pray, fast, give, promise, serve God rather than money, and how to store up treasures in heaven rather than on earth. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, he said. This is where worry comes in. It is followed by, do not judge or you will be judged. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. A discussion on watching out for false prophets and trees bearing good and bad fruit. And finally, the wise and foolish builders who build their houses on rocks versus sand. The section on worry isn't the most important part of the Sermon on the Mount, or the least, but it's the part that seemed to be speaking to me most strongly right now, because I'm struggling with worry. I'm normally a pretty optimistic person. I don't focus on all the things that might go wrong. I just assume things will work out. But what I can't seem to stop worrying about right now is retirement. If you had suggested to me 10 years ago that I would still be working at age 70, I'd have said you were crazy. But here I am. I still enjoy my work as an insurance claims examiner, and I'm still good at it. I could keep on working if I wanted to. No one's forcing me out the door. But I've made the decision to retire on January 31st, and I'm counting the days. 180 days, 4 hours, and 28 minutes, to be exact. So, what am I worried about? What am I going to do starting February 1st for the rest of my life? That's what. I've been reading a book on retirement that talks about six building blocks shaped in a pyramid. Starting at the bottom, physical and emotional health and well-being. The next one up is financial security and continuity, and then life transition and acceptance, intergenerational life engagement. The fifth is intellectual and physical pursuits, interests, and activities. And the top is spirituality, meaning, family, and legacy. The idea is that the bottom two blocks in the pyramid, the widest ones, are the foundation in the sense that if you don't have physical, emotional health and well-being, and or financial security, life is going to be difficult. My physical mobility worries me a bit. I need a new knee, and travel is going to be a problem until I get it. I'm not sure how closely I want to look at my savings. I think I have enough to last the rest of my life. I hope so, but there's not much I can do about it now. So I'm not too worried about these two factors. Next is intergenerational life engagement. I've got that covered, being married to someone from another generation. Seriously, though, we both have close ties to our children and grandchildren, and I think that's what the book is getting at, so I'm not too worried about that. The next block is intellectual and physical pursuits, interests, and activities. This is the part that worries me. I have all kinds of plans in place to get at interests that I've been putting off until I had more time. The thing that worries me is the lack of structure. I've depended on my job to structure and order my life for decades. And I can usually structure my evenings and weekends to get the things done that need to get done. But that is because work imposes deadlines on me. What is going to happen when I wake up the morning after my last day of work and I have to face the rest of my life stretched out before me? I have a plan for this. I plan to overstructure my life at the beginning, starting each day with making my lunch, just as I do now. Otherwise, I'm afraid I'll get to lunchtime and grab something fattening and unhealthy instead of salads and raw veggies I prepare each morning before work. Then I plan to schedule the activities I want to get done each day, like piano practice, working on music theory, exercise. If I don't schedule that, it won't happen. And genealogy research. My thought is to overstructure at the beginning and then back off later as I get into the retirement swing of things. I will also need to push myself to socialize as I have a tendency to be solitary. The last block at the top of the pyramid is spirituality, meaning, family, and legacy. As a Christian, I have trouble with placing spirituality and meaning in the smallest and last block on the top of the pyramid, but I can also see the rationale. If you're struggling with poor health, if you don't know where your next meal is coming from, or whether you can pay your bills, if you're alone and lonely and have nothing meaningful to do, that will have a huge impact, a huge negative impact on your life. I'm so glad that I have my church family surrounding me as I make this transition. There is no shortage of meaningful activity to immerse myself in at Bloomsburg Baptist Church. So what am I worried about, really? I guess what drew me to Matthew 6:25-34 is the promises Jesus included in this passage, and indeed in the entire Sermon on the Mount. Let me read them again. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will not he much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So, I'm going to do my best to just say no to worry. But does not worrying mean that I should stop planning and preparing? I don't think so. Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount with the story of the wise builder who built his house on rock, a firm foundation that would weather the storms of life. Of course, Jesus was referring to faith as the firm foundation. But it shouldn't be forgotten that the builder was responsible for doing the building. So I will continue to plan for my retirement, but work on worrying less and trusting more. And I'll close with a couple of quotes from Jerry. First, I've survived many crises in my life, most of which never happened. And finally, sitting and wishing won't change your fate. God provides the fishing, but you gotta dig the bait. Let's pray. As we take our worship, praise, and prayer from this place into our daily lives, may our lives be sustained through the love of our Heavenly Father. May we feel the presence of our Savior walking beside us and know the power of the Spirit as in both our actions and words. Amen. Let's sing our final hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be.
We're going to sing the first five verses, then the benediction, and finally close with the closing final verse. As we go forth from here today, let us remember, for God who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," make his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Amen.